Jesus is a friend to the sinner, and the streets are full of his friends.
I see a lot of pain. I see a lot of lost souls.
Which way do I go now?
It's a go season. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world. He didn't say, stay ye in all the church.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me.
God is calling you out into the streets with signs and wonders.
I feel a desperation because while we're inside the church, swirling around with issues inside the church, there are people going to hell outside the church.
Because people like me don't come into church. You have to take the church to us so we can find it.
Nothing is going to keep me back from discerning the time, moving into apostolic and prophetic authority, and going out and getting myself an artist. Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name is Patricia King, and I'm really glad that you've joined us for today's special program entitled, Hell, Is It For Real? Do you know if it's for real or not? Well, you'll find out on today's program. You'll want to stay tuned for the entire time because there's sure to be a special destiny word just for you.
I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in hell.
I think hell is in your mind. I think if you keep going through the same old thing over and over again, that would be your hell.
I think hell is basically a state of mind.
I don't believe in the devil.
Personally, I don't believe in hell.
I think hell's right here on earth. I think we're in hell right now.
I do, but then again, no, because I don't want to be there.
Is hell for real? What do you think? You've heard the opinions of others, but have you come to any conclusions? Our producer, Shirley Ross, was watching Trinity Broadcasting Network one day, and they were featuring a program that held a testimony from a man named Howard Storm. And he was sharing how he had an after-death experience. He had died and found himself going down this tunnel into an experience that will wait until you see it to reveal it to you. And so let's have a look at that clip right now.
I was a 38-year-old college professor, and I taught art, and I had taken a group of students and my wife, and we had gone around Europe, and we'd just done a three-week tour, and this was the next to the last day. And we were in Paris, and at 11 o'clock in the morning, I had a perforation of my stomach. When this happened, the pain was the most acute pain I'd ever experienced in my life, and it just dropped me right down to the ground. They took me about 8 miles across town to the public hospital, to the General Hospital of Paris, where I was taken into emergency, examined by two more doctors who knew exactly what was wrong with me, and then they took me away to the surgery hospital. The nurse came in and said that they were very sorry they weren't able to get a doctor for me, and they'd get one the next day. Well, when she said that, I knew that it was over for me. I knew that I was dead. The only thing that was keeping me alive was I didn't want to die. I was scared to death of dying because, as far as I knew, I was a atheist, non-believer, person who lived for the gratification they could get out of the moment. And like dying to me was like the worst. I mean, next to the pain, dying was the worst thing that could happen to you because it's the end of life and there was no more. There wasn't anything else. But when she said that, the idea of trying to exist for another minute, another hour in this pain, it wasn't worth it anymore. So I said to my wife, it's time for us to say goodbye because I'm going to die now. And she got up and she put her arms around me, I'm lying in the bed, and she told me how much she loved me, and I told her how much I loved her, and this makes me really sad. And I just closed my eyes, just let it go. I went unconscious. I probably was unconscious for a very short while, a few minutes probably. And I was conscious again. And I looked, opened my eyes and looked, and I was standing up next to my bed. I felt more alive, more real than I've ever felt in my life. You know, people ask me, you know, we're a ghost. I was just the opposite. Very alive. As I'm looking around the room, I see that there's underneath the sheet on the bed, there's something under the sheet, a body. And so I bent over the bed, the head was turned away from me, and I looked at the face, and it looked like me. But that wasn't possible because I was standing there, I'm alive, I'm great, you know. I mean, I'm more than great, I'm like, you know. And so I tried to talk to my wife.
Can't you hear me?
And
can't you hear me?
You know, she couldn't hear me or
that's
see
not me.
But I thought
what's going on
that
here?
She just was ignoring me. So I got very angry at her for ignoring me, for not paying attention to me. And I'm screaming and yelling at her, what's going on here? Why is this body in the bed that looks like me, and how did it get there, and stuff like that. And I had a sneaking suspicion that the body in the bed was me, but I didn't want to think about that because that was too scary. So I'm getting really agitated and upset because this is all too weird. You know, this can't be happening. It's impossible. And I've got a hospital gown on, and it's like really, everything's really real. And I hear people calling me outside the room, and they're saying to me in soft, gentle voices,
quick, Howard. Howard, come.
Howard,
quickly.
Come out here. Howard,
come quickly.
Come with us.
Howard,
we've been waiting for you.
Waiting.
I left the room, which was real, clear, bright, and went into the hallway, which was dank and hazy, and followed these people. We had a very long journey. There's no time, and whenever I make a reference to time, it's just an illusion because there was no time in this place. But this journey, if I were to recreate it, I'd have to walk like from Nashville to Louisville or something to recreate the walk with these people. And as we walked, they stayed around me and kept moving me on, and it kept getting darker and darker. They were becoming more and more openly hostile to me. First, they were sort of syrupy sweet to get me to go with them, and then when I was going along with them, it was like, hurry up, keep moving, you know, shut up, stop asking questions, you know, it started getting more ugly. And so we get into complete darkness, and I'm absolutely terrified. These people are very hostile, I don't know where I am. I said, I'm not going to go with you any further. They said, you're almost there. And we started to fight. I was trying to get away from them. They were pushing and pulling at me. And there are now a lot of them. What originally had been like a handful now was, since it was darkness, maybe hundreds or thousands. I have no idea. And they're playing with me. You know, clearly they could have just destroyed me if they wanted to. They didn't want to destroy me. What they wanted to do was they wanted to inflict pain on me because they derived pleasure isn't the right word, but they derived satisfaction out of the pain that I experienced. So what they were doing in the beginning part was, it's real hard for me to talk about, and I'm not going to tell you much about it, just a little bit, because just gets too ugly. Initially they were like tearing and biting, tearing with their fingernails, scratching, gouging, ripping, and then biting. And trying to defend myself, trying to fight them off, trying to get away from them, but it's like being in a beehive. Just hundreds of them all over me. And I eventually was just laying on the ground there, all ripped up, pain everywhere, inside, outside. And even harder to bear than the physical pain was the emotional pain of what had just happened to me. The utter degradation that I just experienced. You know, I never once felt that it was unjust or wrong. I heard my voice. It wasn't somebody else's voice. It wasn't the voice of God or anything. It was my voice. And I heard it speak, but I didn't speak it. So whether it's the voice of my conscience or I don't know what it was. It was just, but I distinctly heard my voice say, pray to God. And so I thought to myself, I don't believe in God. pray to God. And I'm thinking, even if I could pray, I don't know how to pray anymore. I haven't prayed. And at that time, I probably hadn't prayed in 22, 23 years. So. And so I'm thinking, like, when I was a child, and we said prayers in Sunday school, and we said prayers in church, and what did we say? And I'm trying to think of it. I'm trying to think of it, because to me, to pray was to recite something that I'd learned. That's what I thought a prayer was then. So I'm, let's say, Lord is my shepherd. Give us this day our daily bread. My country, 'tis of thee. No, that's not a prayer. That's wrong. Let's see. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, 87 years ago, our forefathers. You know, I'm getting all of them mixed up. I can't remember how to pray. And then the people who are around me, every time I'd like mention God, these people who had attacked me and beaten me, every time I mentioned God, it was as if mentioning God was throwing boiling water on them. They would shriek, they would scream, they would yell, and in worse profanity than anything I've ever heard in this world. The other thing that was happening was that they couldn't bear to be around me talking about God. It was so painful for them to hear about God that they kept backing away. And so I had a sense that I could push them away by talking about God. And so I'm trying to remember prayers, and I'm getting all confused and mixed up, and it was just all crazy. And I'm lying there, and eventually I realize that they're gone, and I'm alone. Now, I was alone there for an eternity. And what I mean by that was absolutely no sense of time. But I thought about my life, thought about what I'd done and what I hadn't done. I thought about the situation I was in. And this, the conclusion that I came to was, is that I had lived an entirely, my adult life, I had lived a selfish life. My only God in my adult life was myself. I realized that I was something terribly, terribly wrong with my life, and that the people that attacked me were the same kind of people that I was. They were not monsters, they weren't demons. They were people who had missed it. The point of being born and being alive in this world. They'd missed it, and they'd lived lives of selfishness and cruelty. And now we're in a world where there was nothing else. There was nothing but selfishness and cruelty. And they were doomed to inflict that upon each other and upon themselves. Probably forever and ever and ever and ever. Without end. And now I was a part of it. And it seemed like, although I didn't want to be there, it seemed like probably the right place for me to be. There was a sense of like, this is what I deserve, because this is what I lived. You can't imagine how emotionally painful that was. And I'm lying there for time without end, thinking about my fate, and in the back of my mind, comes up an image of myself as a child sitting in a Sunday school classroom singing Jesus Loves Me. I can hear in my mind, Jesus loves me, la la la, Jesus loves me, la la. And as I recalled myself singing it and heard I could hear myself as a child singing it. More important than anything else was that I could feel it in my heart that there was a time in my life when I was young and innocent, when I believed in something good, when I believed in something other than myself, when I believed in someone who was all good, all powerful, who really, really cared about me. And I knew that I wanted that back, that which I had lost, that I'd thrown away, that I'd betrayed. I wanted that back, that I didn't know Jesus, but I wanted to know Jesus. I didn't know his love, but I wanted to know his love. I didn't know if he was real, but I wanted him to be real. So I called out into the darkness, Jesus, please save me.
Please save me.
And he came. He came. At first, there was a tiny little speck of light in the darkness, and very rapidly got bright. And the light became so bright that if it were in this world, it would have consumed me. I just would have fried me to a crisp. But it wasn't at all hot or dangerous there. The light just came upon me, and he reached down. He was in this light, and he reached down out of this light and gently started to pick me up. And in his light, I could see that I was gore and filth and wounds all over. And I looked like roadkill. And he's gently putting his hands underneath me and very tenderly picking me up. And as he's touching me, everything just goes away. All the wounds, all the pain, all the dirt, it just kind of evaporated away. And I'm like whole and healed. And inside, just filled with his love, which I wish I could be more articulate about. It's so frustrating not being able to tell people about it, because, you know, it's the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I mean, it's the everything, you know, it's the all of life is to know that love. And, you know, I get to it and I just can't describe it. I can't convey it to you. So he's holding me and embracing me, rubbing my back like a father would his son, like a mother would her daughter, just gently rubbing my back. And I'm bawling like a baby out of happiness. I mean, like the release, you know, having been lost and now been found, having been dead and now brought back to life, you know. And he's carrying me out of there. Up, we just go out. And we're moving towards a world of light, and I began to have thoughts of tremendous shame that I've been so bad. I thought of myself as dirt, garbage, filth. And I thought to myself, he's made a mistake. I don't belong here. He doesn't want me. You know, it's like the shame of, like, how could he care about me? You know, why me? I'm bad. And we stopped. We weren't in hell, we weren't in heaven, we were in between. And we stopped, and he said, we don't make mistakes. You belong here. And we began to converse, and he was talking and telling me things, and he brought over some angels who went over my life from beginning to end. And what they wanted to show me in my life was what I had done right and what I had done wrong. And without going through my whole life story, it was real simple, real simple. When I had been a loving, kind person, considerate of other people, it made the angels happy, it made Jesus happy, and they let me know that it made God happy. And when I had been selfish and manipulative, it made the angels unhappy, it made Jesus unhappy, and they let me know that it made God unhappy. What they were trying to convey to me in a nutshell was, my whole purpose in my existence had been to love God, love my neighbor as myself. That's why I had been created. That's what I was in this world to. to do and to learn. And I had failed. They told me that I had to come back to this world. And I got real upset because I wanted to go to heaven. What they told me about heaven, it's like the most fun, most interesting. I mean, it's the most wonderful place. I mean, everybody would want, you know, want to go to heaven, and I wanted to get there, and they said that I wasn't ready, I wasn't fit, that it wasn't my time to go to heaven. It was my time to come back to this world and try and live the way that God wanted me to live, the way God had created me to live in the first place. I told them, Jesus and the angels, that I couldn't live in this world without them. And I said that I would have, my heart would break to send me back to this world, because they'd be there and I'd be here. And they said to me, you don't get it? What is the matter? We were showing you all this, we were explaining to you, we've always been there. We always have been there. We've always been with you all this time. And you've never been alone down there. I said, you've got to let me know that you're around once in a while. So they said, if I prayed and confessed my sins to God, and gave what I had, and they meant, what they meant by what I had was gave my worries, my cares, my hopes, my dreams, just gave it all up to God, that there would be times when they would be there, and I would know in my heart that they were there. Wouldn't necessarily see them or hear them, but I would feel the love like I'd felt it then. And I said, if you will assure me that there are times when I can know that love, I could live in this world. And I said that they would do that, and with that they sent me back.
Perhaps you're ready right now to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. I guess a great question for you would be this. If you were to die tonight, are you assured that you'd go to be with God in heaven? Or is there a possibility that you would go down that corridor into darkness and into terror? Do you know for sure? And can you take a chance? The truth says that Jesus is willing to save anyone that calls upon his name. And so if you'd like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you pray with me right now? Because he is the King of love and he's ready to come into your heart. Just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I believe that I am a sinner and that I need to be forgiven. I ask you now to forgive my sin, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, and to come into my life, writing my name in your book of life in heaven. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to welcome you to the family. Now, there's someone watching the program right now, and you're worried because a loved one passed on, and you didn't know if they went on to heaven or hell because they never confessed their faith in Jesus Christ. And I just sense the Lord showing me that because you prayed for them, he heard your prayers, and that in the final hour, they had a revelation of Jesus Christ and called on his name. You know, that happened to me on my deathbed. I was unconscious. I was dying. And Jesus came to me in a vision and stretched out his arms to me and said, come to me. And I didn't hesitate. At that point, I just said, Jesus, I don't know if you're for real or not, but I give my life to you. And that's what happened to your loved one. And you will be very delighted to find that Jesus has honored your prayer.
If you want to learn how to experience the supernatural presence and power of God, then this is the course for you. Learn how to know God in an intimate way, receive teaching on angels, heaven, and supernatural phenomena. The school is informative, exciting, and life-changing. Register soon as enrollment for the school is limited. For more information, visit our website at extremeprophetic.com.
Welcome to The Stuff. We're here to resource you, and I'm just having a look right now at the book that Roland Baker's grandfather wrote on visions beyond the veil. Roland Baker's grandfather and grandmother worked as missionaries over in China and cared for little orphans, you know, that were just street children that were picked up by them and cared for them. They didn't have any education. They didn't know the Bible. And one day, Jesus came by his Holy Spirit and took them all up into heaven and showed them all the glory of heaven, but also showed them the terrors of hell. And all of their account of what they saw are in this book, Visions Beyond the Veil. After they got back out of their trance visions, Roland's grandfather took them into a room all separately, independently of each other, and interviewed them, and they all came up with the same story. They all saw the same thing. A remarkable little book. And then we have our Glory School, which speaks not only of heaven, but also we do a study into the spirit realm, which defines what hell is, where it is, the different parts beneath the, you know, surfaces of the earth that are overlaid by the spirit. All that kind of interesting information is found on the Glory School. So why don't you visit us online at extremeprophetic.com. We'll look forward to seeing you there. There's sure to be a special destiny word just for you.
Friends of ours had a vision of hell, and they were telling them about the torment that people went through, and that we go around, we run our lives just like what we do, and we think there's no consequences, and we think that we're invincible. But I'm going to tell you something. When he saw this vision of these people, and they're screaming, and these were teenagers, these were young people, these were old and young, and they were screaming, they're crying out, and these things were happening, and they didn't know. And if they would have known that there would have been a hell out there, they would have changed their life. And I'm telling you today that there's a hell out there, but there's a God that loves you and that he cares for you. He doesn't want you to go there. He wants you to go to heaven and enjoy with him for the rest of your life. And that he doesn't want you to go through pain. And he doesn't want you to go through sorrow, because you know what? There's only the thing that's only in hell is regrets, that you could have came to God. You could have came to someone that loved you, someone that cared for you. And then when something went wrong, he was there. And that he really loves you, and he doesn't want you to experience this.
After the experience, the nurse who had been in the room a few minutes before and said they couldn't find a doctor, and they tried to give him the next one, she came running back in the room, and she said a doctor's arrived at the hospital, which was like, this is all pretty miraculous stuff, because this is now like 9:30 at night. So the doctor's arrived at the hospital, and we're going to have do surgery on you right away. And some orderlies and people came in, and they threw my wife out of the room. And it's very disturbing, because I was trying to tell them, and I wanted to tell my wife what had happened to me. So when I passed my wife in the hall on the gurney on the way to the surgery, I said, everything's going to be great. And she just started bawling, because she thought, like, that was like a dying man, you know? Strange thing about the experience is the memory hasn't dulled at all. It's real intense, and I don't know, it stays intense. And I believe that one of the reasons that God gave me this experience so that I would have an opportunity to share it with someone, I don't know who, I never know who, but I would have the opportunity to share it with somebody so that it could be of help to them.
Learn how to know God in an intimate way, receive teaching on angels, heaven, and supernatural phenomena. The school is informative, exciting, and life-changing. Register soon, as enrollment for the school is limited. For more information, visit our website at extremeprophetic.com.